is our God. Amen. He's great and greatly to be praised. We're going to ask that you go to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Matthew, the 16th chapter. How many know we're in a war? Huh? How many know we're in a war? How many know every day the Lord allows you to wake up and open your eyes, there's a war going on? The enemy wants to take you out. And God wants you to live life abundantly. Amen? And you're in the middle. And you're in the middle of this terrible world with all the things that are going on in it. Amen? None of it should surprise us. God told us all that would happen in the book. Amen? I don't know if these are the last days, but they sure seem like it. Amen? I don't know when he's coming back, but I know he's coming back soon. Amen? And you say, preacher, they've been saying he's been coming back soon for a long time. Well, he's coming back sooner today than he was yesterday. Amen? Amen. And I'm not about to take any chances to figure out when he is coming back. I just know he's coming. Amen? I just know he's coming. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, and before I go any further, it's already been said, but I do want to, we thank God for our brother Patterson, who lost his mother. Amen. And we pray for him and his family and his loved ones, for Brother Ray, who lost his wife, Sister Ray Dora, precious friend of ours and member of ours and sister of ours, and we thank God for her life, and we pray for Brother Ray and his family and their loved ones, and for Russ's friend Georgia and their family and all that's going on in the world. Amen. And Ray said something to me before service started that kind of stuck with me. And, you know, I think as we get older, you know, he was telling me how hard it was these last 5 years. You know, all the coming home from work and all the things he had to do to help her while she was sick these last 5 years. And, you know, when we're doing those things, a lot of times, you know, we get frustrated and you know, it feels like we're inconvenienced and it's just, it takes so much. But then he was saying once he lost her, he would do anything to have those inconveniences back. He would do anything to have that, you know, all the things that when you were doing it, it's like, oh my God, I gotta leave work, I gotta do this, I gotta do that, and it's frustrating and it's hard, and you're, the one you love is going through this, and it's just, and you just, you know. But then when you don't have it to do, you wish you could do it. So I think that stuck with me. And I think as we get older, as all of us get older, and we will be called upon, maybe somebody will be taking care of you, or maybe you'll be taking care of somebody that you love. But it's just a reminder to us that it's a blessing to be able to do it, even though it's hard and it's inconvenient, because when they're gone, you won't have that anymore. Amen. So, amen. We thank God for the inconveniences in life. Amen. We thank God for the struggle, because in that is blessing. Amen. And thank God she had you to do that for her when she couldn't do for herself. Amen. 16th chapter of Matthew, starting at the 13th verse, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed that unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. The 21st verse says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again on the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not happen unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, get behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. The 24th verse says, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father, which is his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Amen. We've read in your hearing the 16th chapter of Matthew, verses 13 through 28. And again, I want to remind us today that there's a war going on. I recently read the true story about a preacher who was standing at the door as his worshipers, the people that were in the congregation, were leaving church at the end of the day. The preacher was standing at the door shaking hands as the congregation departed, and he grabbed one man by the hand and he pulled him aside, and the preacher said to him, man, you need to join the army of the Lord. And the man replied to him, he said, sir, with all due respect, I'm already in the army of the Lord. And the preacher questioned him because he said, well, how come I don't see you except for Christmas and Easter? And he whispered back to the preacher, he says, because I'm in the Secret Service. You see, there's many of us that want to be in the Secret Service of the Lord. Amen? We want to hang around. We want to do as little as possible. Amen. We have to understand that coming to the Lord is not all about what's in it for me. Amen? Several years ago, I was reading an exchange online where this young man who just, he had joined the army and he had just been called to go to Iraq because the nation had declared war on Saddam Hussein. And this young man who was in the army was saying that he didn't want to go. And when they asked him, well, why don't you want to go? He explained that, he said, I didn't join the army to go to war. I joined because of the benefits. I joined because of the pay. I joined because I could go to college for free. I joined because of the insurance. I joined because I could retire at an early age. That's the reason why I joined the army. I didn't join to go to war. Well, one of the primary functions of the military is to prepare for war. And you got to know that when you sign up, that your primary function in joining the armed services is to protect and serve your country. No matter what comes your way. Amen? And if you can't make that full commitment, if that's not really your desire, then don't join. Because it's very real possibility that if you join, you could get called to duty. Amen? And I think it's important that recruiters let people know that as they're trying to sign people up. And I think it's very important for us as men and women of God to let people know when they sign up and they accept the great gift of salvation, which is beautiful. I mean, thank God that Jesus loved me, loved you so much that he was willing to die on the cross in our place and 3 days later rise again so that I, with my filthy self, could be freed from the guilt and shame of sin in my life. But listen, if you're just coming to the Lord for the benefits, and there are many benefits of being on the Lord's side. I could spend a whole message talking about the benefits that come with being on the Lord's side. But if you're only in it for the benefits, you're going to have many disappointing days. You're going to have many hard days. You're going to spend a lot of time questioning why you're going through, because that's not what it's all about. You see, it's not about what's in it for me. I asked her to put that song back up on the screen because as I was looking at the words, I will worship with all of my heart. I will praise you with all my strength. I will seek you all my days. I will follow. That's what you're agreeing to do when you join the army of the Lord. I will follow. And guess what? When you sign up, you don't know where you're following to. Amen? You have to come and say, yes, Lord. Wherever you want to take me, wherever you want me to go, wherever you need me to do, I will follow no matter what. All of your ways. Amen? Not just the ones that are comfortable for me. Not just the ones that I like, but all of your ways. Can you change the screen? because there's some other stuff on there I saw. I will give you all my wish. Okay, change it again. I will bow down. I will hail you as king. I will what? I will serve you, but yet every single day we wake up and our prayers are, Lord, what can you do for me today? I need you to do this. I need you to do that. I need you to work this situation out. We spend all of our time, all of our prayers, telling him what we want, but that's not. It's about, I will serve you. I will go. I will do whatever it is. I'll give you everything. I didn't sign up for that, God. Not everything. I'll give you some of it, but I can't give it all to you. Huh? You see, in this scripture reading we saw here today, Jesus is reminding them of what they signed up for. That's why I believe when he was asking Peter in the other part of the scripture where he says, Peter, do you love me? You remember when he asked him, and he asked him like four times, and Peter was like, what are you talking about, Lord? You know, he wasn't asking him because he didn't believe. He was asking him because he wanted to know what the commitment was. Because we're about to go through something here. You think Jesus didn't consider that when he said to the Father, I will go? I will go down there. I will be clothed in flesh. I will go through. I will do all that I'm going to do. And he knew what he signed up for. He knew he had to go to the cross. He knew he had no sin. He committed no sin. He allowed them to beat him, to revile him, to embarrass him, to kill him. He knew what he signed up for, but he took it all the way to the end, even 3 days later, rose up with all power in his hands. He knew he had to suffer. He knew it wasn't fair. Amen? Listen, a life in Christ is a beautiful life, and there's many benefits that go along with it, but you are called to serve, to follow, to give him everything, to trust him, to trust him, to have a faith that says, no matter what, I trust you, Lord, even when everything in front of me looks bad, everything I do, all these things that I'm seeing, I don't understand, I don't get it, Lord, but I trust you. Knowing that he loves you so much that he would never take you somewhere where he couldn't keep you. Many times, if you've ever witnessed to someone about coming to Christ, I think it's just as important for us to let them know that, look, this is a beautiful life, and this is what Jesus, this is what God has in mind for you. He's not willing that any should perish. He wants all to have eternal life. This is for you. But in this life, you will have tribulation. As long as we're down here, you will have suffering in your life. You will have tribulation. Not every day is going to be Sunday. You're going to cry tears of sadness. You're going to experience grief, sickness, turmoil, tragedy, all the things that come with life. It's just as important that we let them know that we, just because you accept the gift of salvation, doesn't mean you are void of having to deal with life. Amen? But you got to know what you're signing up for. Armies do not exist to pass out benefits. Armies exist to deal with conflicts, to defend their people, to fight the enemy, to contend against evil. And still there are people joining up hoping for a free ride. And that kind of mentality undermines the military of a nation. Do you understand the reason why it's so important that you join for the right reasons and understand what it is you're signing up for? Because when conflict comes and you're in the midst of the trenches, when you're in the war, the person next to you needs to know that he can count on you, that she can count on you. Amen? I mean, if I'm in the middle, if there's shots firing over me and there's all kinds of chaos going on, I don't need somebody who was just in it for the benefits next to me. I don't need somebody that was just along for the college tuition next to me. I need somebody who's willing to give their life for me just like I would for them. That's the commitment involved. If you're not willing to give that kind of commitment, then don't join. The army's not for everybody. And I would never say to anyone, don't join the army of the Lord, but I will say that once you join, that doesn't mean, it's a commitment. Amen? It's not just about what's in it for me. God does great and mighty things, and God answers prayer, and we can all testify of all the things that God has brought us through. Just unbelievable things that God has done for us in our lives, but he's not a genie. He's not somebody that you just give your wishes to. He's not an errand boy. He's not somebody you just do this for me, do that. No, it's what you can do for him. If he don't do another thing for you, he's done enough. He gave his life. We can be forgiven of sin. We have grace and mercy because he gave his life. If he don't do another thing for us, he's done more than enough. But he'll do all kinds of things for you because that's just the kind of God he is. But you got to know what you signed up for. And you know, he told us in the book, you know, he explained to us. He says, you know, in this life you're going to have tribulation. He says you're going to go through some things. He even said, don't think it's strange. Because we always do that, don't we? We always think, why am I going through this? It's so strange that I'm suffering. It's so, I don't understand why I'm going. Why? Why is that strange to you? Don't think it's strange when fiery darts come your way because you have an enemy that wants to take you out. I'm trying to tell you that you're in a war. So don't think it's strange when you have a beautiful time in church and you feel great about, you know, hanging out with the saints and, whoa, we had a great time, and you walk out the door and somebody's trying to mess with your car, or you get home. Don't think it's strange. That's life. The devil wants to steal your joy. He wants to steal your trust. He wants to steal your faith. He wants you to throw in the towel and give up. I will trust you, and I will trust you alone. And I say it all the time. We shouldn't. You know, songs are beautiful and words are great, but we got to know what we're singing about too. And you know what? Those songs should minister to us, even as we sing them to minister to others. Don't just sing the words on the paper, but what are the words on the paper? What are they saying? What does it mean? What does it mean for me? When you look at it that way, when you look at the words and you see the meaning and you see what's in it, you know, you get the message out of it. Wow, you talk about, then you'll really be singing those songs. Amen? because you know what you're singing about. Too often, believers sign up for the benefits. They expect Jesus to be there for them when Jesus expects them to be there for him. That's the issue Jesus is addressing here in Matthew 16. He's explaining to his disciples that they're part of his army. He has called them to war, and there's a decision to be made. He said to them, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And that's one of the hardest things for all of us to do, is deny ourselves. Because at the end of the day, we want what we want, we want to do what we want to do, and we want to do it the way we want to do it. Because we're selfish. You don't have to say amen. It's the truth anyhow. If you think about the times you knew the Lord was telling you to go and you didn't go, when you knew the times when he was telling you to do something, you didn't do it, when you think about those times, the reason why you didn't do it was because you thought about yourself. I'm not comfortable doing that. I don't think you're talking to me. I think you're talking to me. I think that's for somebody else. I'm worried about how they're going to take it. I'm worried. I don't know if it's going to work. All these different things, all these excuses. It's all about yourself. I'm not capable. I don't have that gift. He wouldn't have asked you if you didn't. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for me will find it. Stop trying to hang on so tightly to your own stuff and give it all up for Jesus. Amen. It's not about benefits. It's about picking up your cross and going into the trenches. It's about being willing to lose your life for Christ. It's about a serious commitment to Jesus. Jesus had been with his disciples now in this story for 2 years. He had been training them and teaching them, exposing them to God's power. And they listened as he shared his teaching and his parables. They saw him heal the deaf, mute, and lame. They even saw him raise a girl from the dead. They observed him perform powerful miracles. They were out at sea when Jesus came walking on the water. And again, they were on that same sea when he stilled a frightening storm by simply saying, "Peace, be still." They were there when 5,000 men, along with their wives and children, were fed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 small fish. And again, he fed 4,000 men and their families in a similar way. Just a few weeks before this story, we find in Matthew 14 that Jesus sent his disciples out to the surrounding villages to preach and to heal and to cast out demons. But now time is getting short. Jesus' arrest and crucifixion are only weeks away, and Jesus has to make it clear to them how serious the task is. So the first thing he does here is he lays the foundation of their allegiance to him. In the early part of Matthew 16, he calls them together and asks them a question: "Who do men say that I am?" They reply, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and others still Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And Jesus asked them, "But who do you say I am?" Peter, never at a loss for words, steps right up and says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus commends him for that. But then Jesus explains that he has one final battle to fight. and explains to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day rise again. Peter objects, and in Matthew 16 and 22, it tells us that Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you." You see, this isn't what Peter signed up for. Amen? He wanted to keep walking the walk with Jesus. He didn't want that part of it to come. Jesus has to live. He's not supposed to die. He's the long-expected king and Messiah. It's not happening while I'm alive, Peter says. And Jesus rebukes him and says, but then Jesus gives a teaching we find here in the text today, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever wants to save his life shall lose it, and whoever loses his life for me will find it." Jesus is saying to them, "I have called you to war. And in war, you face the possibility of death." You see, that's what the young man was worried about. He knew that once he went to the trenches, he would face suffering, danger, and that he could even die. And the young man who signed up for the benefits, he didn't want to do that. And Jesus is telling his disciples here and us today, that's exactly what we've signed up for. We've been called to go to war. And in this calling, we face the possibility of suffering, danger, and yes, maybe even death. Jesus told us that, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." He even told them, "Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." In fact, Jesus said, "All men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved." Paul wrote Timothy and said, "Everyone who wants to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted." And Peter said to the church of his day, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ, so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed." Some would say that Paul was one of the greatest Christians who ever lived. He's known for many writings, and but Paul himself described the things that he endured. "Five times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I've been cold and I've been naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches." And eventually, Paul was executed for his faith, as were all the other apostles except John. And you ask the question, why would he do all that? Why put up with that suffering and danger and death? Paul did all that because he was convinced that Jesus was worth it. Are you convinced today? Are you convinced that Jesus is worth it in your life? All the things that we go through, all the things that we have to, that comes our way, is Jesus worth it? He was convinced that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God, who had come to die for our sins and rise from the dead to give us hope. He was convinced that there was a war to be fought and souls to be won. He was convinced that the fate of men and women around him depended on his faithfulness as a soldier of Jesus Christ. When he was on trial before King Agrippa, Paul declared that Jesus had told him, "I am sending you to the Gentiles to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to the power of God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." Because Paul believed all that, he was convinced that it was worth it to deny himself and take up his cross and follow Jesus, to face the dangers and difficulties this world would throw at him. Now, truth be told, many of us will not face the kinds of problems that Paul did. In our country, we are not likely to be whipped or stoned or beaten with rods because of what we believe. More than likely, we'll be faced with the challenge of realizing that Christianity isn't just a Sunday thing. Our faith calls us to be faithful to Jesus 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Not just on Sundays, not just on Christmas, not just on Easter. Amen. As Christians, we are soldiers of Christ, and we are at war with Satan every single day. Because I don't know if you realized it yet, but Satan doesn't take any days off. Amen. He don't take holidays. Every single day, he is trying you. Every single day, he's trying to hit you where it hurts. Every single day, he's testing your very weaknesses that you know you have. Every single day, he is so constant and so purposeful and so committed to doing that in your life. And that is why, as followers of Christ, we must be just as persistent. Just as we must not take days off ourselves. Every day the Lord allows us to wake up, we must choose. The Bible says, you walk after the flesh, you mind the things of the flesh. You walk after the Spirit, you mind the things of the Spirit. Every day, we have a choice. There's a war going on. We must choose to allow the Holy Spirit, whom God has given us, to help us walk in the ways of the Spirit, mind the things of the Spirit. If we mind the things of the Spirit, we will not mind the things of the flesh. Whenever we mind the things of the flesh, it's all about self. It always takes us in the wrong direction. But if we allow the Holy Spirit to lead us and guide us and direct us, if our minds are stayed on thee, he will move us to walk in the Spirit of God. And in that we have the victory, even in the midst of all the craziness that we deal with day in and day out. And yes, it's a beautiful life, even in the midst of all this chaos. But we're not just in it for the benefits. We have signed up. The back in the old days, they used to sing, "I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. I'm a soldier in the army. Got my war clothes on in the army of the Lord." Right? We're in this. That's the way, that's our mentality. It's not just about the benefits. The Bible says daily he loads us with benefits. Daily he does that for. He said, the Bible tells us that every morning is brand new mercies. We got that. But in the midst of our daily struggle, allow the Holy Spirit mind the things of the Spirit and allow Him to lead us in the things of the Spirit and be ready, willing, and able to do whatever God has in store for you. And don't give Him no excuses, and don't talk about what you're capable of. It's not about you anyway. It's about Him. You can't do nothing of yourself. It's only through Christ Jesus you can do anything anyway. Amen? Let us stand. I don't know if there's anyone in here today that has not yet made that commitment to be in the army of the Lord. And yes, it comes with struggle, it comes with heartache, it comes with all the things that life brings our way, but the benefits far outweigh anything. The Bible tells us that whatever we deal with down here can't even compare. You can't even put it in the same sentence to what we are going to experience in heaven. Amen? Is there one today that would like to come forward and accept the gift of salvation that Jesus has so readily and so faithfully given to us by giving His life and 3 days later rising again with all power in His hands? Is there one today who would say that I would like to know Jesus in the pardon of my sins? Because that's real freedom. Is there one? As we bow our heads, Lord, we thank You for this reminder that You have given us today, for why we are here and why You saved us, why You died for us and rose again. Lord, help us with the daily struggle like You always do. Help us to mind the things of the Spirit that we might walk after them. And help us to deny the flesh. In the name of Jesus. Lord, all of us have our weaknesses. All of us have our struggles. Lord, You are our strength where we are weak. Help us to lean on You. In the mighty name of Jesus. Forgive us of our sins. Have mercy on us, Lord Jesus. Free our minds of confusion. Let those that are weary and heavy laden come to get rest in You, Jesus. Lord, bless us each at our individual points of needs. Lord, You know us all better than we know ourselves. You know our ways, Lord. You know what You would have for us. Bless us like only You can. Strengthen us even now. Lord, once again, we ask for Your prayers and Your prayers of comfort for the Francis family, for the Reese family, for Russ's friend and their family. Give us comfort even now, like only You can, Lord. Soothe that hurt way deep on the inside, like only You can. Lord,